Bibles to Romans chapter 8, beginning at verse 31. Romans chapter 8, verse 31. Amen. And it reads, "What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Amen. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword?" Verse 36, "As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter." Verse 37, "Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us." Verse 38, "For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come." Verse 39, "Nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." May the Lord have a blessing to the reading and the hearing of the word unto the Lord. Eternal Father God, we thank you. Heavenly Father, after the songs have been sung, that the word of God must go forth. Lord God, we come back right now to your church, Heavenly Father, that you remove anything within us that should not be. Lord, we come confessing that we all have fallen short by word, by thought, and by deed. But we come shouting hallelujah, rejoicing, knowing that you have more forgiveness in you than we have said in us, Heavenly Father. We come asking right now that you would unstop our ears so we're able to hear the revealed word of God. Open our minds, we're able to process the revealed word. And most of all, give us a yielding spirit, not just to be hearers, but to be doers of your word, Father. We may live in a better condition than what we arrived from, because we have truly heard a word from on high. I pray that you would search me, Lord. Lead me down into your strife of knowledge and wisdom. Allow me to gain heavenly realms just one more time and boldly proclaim what thus does say the Lord, Father God. Remove me from self as a body of water. Fill me anew. Breathe upon me afresh this day. Father God, I pray the words of my mouth and measure my strength in your sight. O Lord, my strength, my dear church, say amen.
Amen.
And in Romans 8, I want to focus on verse 37. "Nay, in all things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us." According to the Bible, the children of God are perpetually victorious people. We can't always see it. We don't always feel it. And we don't always live like it. It's true nonetheless. The verse before us today has brought comfort and hope to the hearts of God's children for 2,000 years. It reminds us that we are more than conquerors. In spite of how things appear to us, or in spite of how we may feel about our circumstances. And I'm going to spend a little time in this verse today, because the facts reveal and it clearly reminds us that we are more than conquerors. You may not feel like it today. You might feel like an inexperienced pilot is at the yoke of your life. Regardless of how you feel, this verse offers words of hope, peace, and encouragement to those who feel discouraged, defeated, and overwhelmed by life. Let's take a fresh look at this familiar verse. Let me show you the facts that are revealed here that teach us that we are more than conquerors. Point number one, let's look at the reality of our conquest. And when Paul uses the phrase in verse 37, "more than conquerors." This translates a word that only appears here in the New Testament. Amen. It refers to those who gain a surpassing victory. It means to be completely victorious, to carry away an overwhelming victory. It literally has the idea of us being super conquerors. That's what the Bible says we are, but that's not always how we feel. Amen. Most believers that I know seem to be overwhelmed by life.
word of God this morning. Our prayer should be that we will accept by faith the promises of God concerning the victory that we have in Jesus Christ. Amen. Our prayer should also be that God would help us to live out that victory every day in spite of how things look to us and in spite of how we feel about our present circumstances. My God. Secondly, point number two, we look at the realm of our conquest. The realm of our conquest in verse 37, which says, Paul says that we are more than conquerors, and he says in all things. You see that, don't you? He says in all things. Most of us have the idea that victory occurs when we are living a life that are free from troubles, afflictions, and heartaches.
Yes.
Amen. Paul says that reality is something far different. Amen. We are super conquerors in spite of everything the world and the devil can throw at us.
Amen.
Amen. Can be found in verses 33 to 35. Let's take a look at the list of problems that we have in verses 33 to 35. And you will see that many of these things are common part of living. Look what he says in verse 33. We are super conquerors in spite of those who would charge us in verse 33. Look what he says. He says, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. Now look at this. Now, there's a questionnaire and the answer's right there in front of you. Now you need to understand something. Look at this. It says, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Well, first, the first question becomes, who are God's elect? Well, these are the ones who elected to believe the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
These are the ones who elected to receive Christ as their Savior. And because you receive Christ as your Savior, you're now justified before God as if you never sinned. So justification means just as if I never sinned. Are you getting this so far? Look what he says. So what he's saying is that we are victorious over all those who would challenge our relationship with the Lord. Understand me? It's not based upon what you did in your past. It's what God has done for you. It's not based on what you did. It's based upon what he has done.
Come on, come on.
My God, so God has justified us and nothing will ever change his mind. Because he tells me that he is yet married to the backslider. Come on, take witness this morning. Watch this thing now.
Yes, yes.
So watch this. So we are super conquerors. Look at verse 34. In spite of those who would condemn us. Look at verse 34. Who is he that condemneth? Hmm. Amen. It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Oh, now let's see. Who would condemn us? Oh, other church folk. Folk who think they've been in church longer than you, know the Lord better than you do, and the first thing they say, you know Christians don't act like that. Well, let me give you news, like according to the scriptures, only Christ is high enough and sits next to the Father that can judge anyone. Amen. Those old saints who've been in church forever, they used to be something as well. Amen. All of us is a used to be.
Amen.
So don't let anybody ever look down at you and condemn you based upon where you are now, because God looks past where you are and only sees what you can become. So watch, so we are victorious over those who would declare us that we are unworthy before the Lord. Now that first thing I say was, I can't believe that you're saved acting like that. Well, I can't believe that you're unsaved and still the way that you live.
Amen.
And at least I have enough sense to know the Lord as my Savior.
Well, come on.
So Jesus Christ died for us on the cross, and he shed his blood to save us, and no one can undo what he did for us on the cross. You may not like the fact that I'm saved. You might like the fact that I'm working out my salvation. That's between me and God. Has nothing to do with you. Amen. You got to stand before God for yourself.
Yes.
And remember, the same standard you judge somebody by, God's going to judge you by the same standard.
Yes, yes.
So only Christ, who says in verse 34? Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died. Nobody died for my sins but Christ. Amen. So I don't have to appeal to you. I just wish I was glorifying him. So watch this. Yea, that is risen again. He is at the right hand of God who made an intercession. Why is intercession needed? Because as long as we're in this flesh, we still have the struggles of the flesh.
Yes.
And when we miss the mark and fall in the ditch, we say, Father, forgive me. And Christ says, Father, they're covered by my blood.
Amen.
So until someone has a heaven or hell to put you and keep you out of, I wouldn't pay them any mind. In verse 35, in spite of those who would confound us. Look at verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword, the world and the devil have ever been enemies of the children of God? And the reason why most children don't have a struggle with the devil is the world's already got you. Oh my God, watch this thing now. If the devil's not fighting you because he already got you. Come on now, y'all understand me. Watch this thing, listen. The attacks are frequent and they are severe.
Yes,
amen.
Yes.
In spite of everything that's thrown in our direction, we are still victorious over all the efforts to defeat us and to destroy us.
Amen.
Look at this attack that children of God face in this life. Tribulation. Look at the verse. Tribulation, which means to be squeezed or to feel pressure. This is a common problem all people face. We all, life happens to all of us. Have you ever felt yourself just squeezed to the point you thought you would just pop? Amen. You know, we say pressure makes a pipe burst. And you ever felt like you was a pipe about to burst? We all have felt squeezed in that one time or another. Then it says distress, literally a narrow place. It means to be hemmed in by one's circumstances, trapped with no way out. Now watch this. You can hem yourself in. You can allow yourself to be hemmed in. Hemmed in by your finances. Hemmed in by relationships. Amen. How do I get myself caught up in this? How do I get caught up in this matter? Watch this thing. Persecution. Suffering affliction on because of the relationship with Jesus Christ. Now it's one thing to persecute just because you are a person. It's totally another thing for people to persecute you because of your stand for Christ. And the problem is, again, we got too many folks who call themselves Christians who compromise the word of God when it's convenient, so folks persecute you because you're hypocritical.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God, I'm on track, so watch this thing. Then it says in the list, it says famine, a lack of necessary resources. This is a natural byproduct of persecution. Then it says nakedness. A lack of proper clothing. Let me stop here for a second. I get annoyed when folks say, I can't come to church, but I don't have any church clothes.
Wow.
Newsflash, as long as I've been shopping for 52 years, I have never seen one section in any clothing store that stands out as marked church clothes.
Well.
Which tells me in reality, you can really come as you are.
Yes, yes.
It is a shame that folks will go to a club deck to the nine and come to the house of God just any old kind of way.
Come on.
So a lack of proper clothing to be in a state of destitution, this is also a byproduct of persecution. Then it says perils in the list. It says the threat of imminent awful danger. Sword, the threat of murder, the cold, hard, death-dealing instrument that sent many believers out into eternity. But look at verse 31. Verse 31 says, what shall we say? What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? This is fun. I want you to look at this. 31 is not just there numerically. It's there because of your position in Christ. And even before this list has happened, which started in verse 33, you got the victory in verse 31.
Yes.
Which means even before you entered the situations, you already went into the situations a winner.
Amen.
Oh, you're not getting this thing, are you? You see what the book says? It says in verse 31, the book says, what shall we say? These things are going to happen, but what do you say to these things? If God be for us, if God is for me, the Bible tells me that God for me is more than the world against me. Let the world bring what it may, as long as God is on my side, greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. Watch this. So we're more than conquerors, not by avoiding these things, but by triumphing over them through Jesus Christ. Your victory is not based upon you, it's based upon Christ working through you.
Okay.
My God, our pain and our suffering is very real.
But so is God's purpose for your life. We also remember that his plan for our lives and our plan for our lives is rarely on the same page. Amen. Here's what God is doing in these circumstances. First of all, he is refining our lives. Amen. Just as a goldsmith, he's the order and move impurities, God uses the trials and afflictions of life to rid the imperfections and impurities of the flesh. What am I saying? What happens is that in order to get you where he wants you to be, God has to send heat into your life.
Amen.
That heat could be a relationship he wants you to break off. That heat could be a relationship he wants you to mend.
Uh-huh.
Amen. He may bring your finances off the back burner to the front burner.
Yes.
Amen. Because someone's going to be talking when it comes to money, yeah? Because you know what? You've been ignoring this bill long enough. I'm now going to make you have to deal with it. So he moves off the back burner to the front burner. So what he does is he sends heat into your life. He sends heat. And the problem, we keep looking for a way out of the heat without getting the lesson that God is trying to teach us. I'm trying to move some folks. I'm trying to move some things out of your life. And the only way I can move out your life and to get the things out your life, I got to send heat your way.
Yes. Come on.
Secondly, God is remaking our lives.
Yes, yes.
He's remaking our lives. When he finishes with us, we will be less like ourselves and more like his son, the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It's not about you. It's about God. God never promised to make us comfortable. He desired that we be conformable into the image and likeness of his son. And the problem is, every time we go to God in prayer, God is still seeing too much of you. And how do you know it's too much of you in prayer? Because every time you go down and pray, it's all about you. Come on now, I'm on track so far.
Amen, amen.
So it's about the world seeing less of us,
yes,
and more of him.
Yes, yes.
Because we're understanding, when somebody was to ask you, what does Jesus look like? You should be able to say, he looks just like me. Why? Yes. Because something on the inside is starting to show up on the outside.
Right, yes.
Come on now. And then thirdly, he is realigning our lives. He's refining our lives, he's remaking our lives, and thirdly, he is realigning our lives. God is working in us to bring us to a place where life ceases to be about us and it's all about him and his will for us. We talked before about desire and purpose. Desire is all about what you want to do. Purpose is what God has called you to do.
Amen.
Desire is about your accomplishment. Desire is about increasing the kingdom of God.
Amen.
Purpose, come on now. You're walking in desire and you have not discovered your God. And that's what Christian life is wasted. For you to live here, call yourself a believer, die, get to heaven, and never know what your purpose was that God called you out for. And nobody's called to be the frozen chosen. My God, watch this thing. We call ourselves believers. Amen. The purpose of a believer is to go and to make disciples. The disciple is one who follows the teaching of the master, correct? If you're not making disciples, is Christ really your Lord and Master? Come on now. Making disciples is not what you say, it's how you live before a lost and dying world. Because you can say whatever you want to say to me, but if what you're saying and how you're living is not lining up, one can't stop the other. So he wants us to get to a place where life ceases to be about us. It's not about us. It's all about him. I keep saying, he should be your first thought of every morning. Thank you for a new day.
Yes.
And your last thought of every night. Thank you for allowing me to lie down just one more time.
Yes. 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 Yes.
It wasn't your alarm clock that woke you this morning. Don't be misled.
Hmm.
It was God's loving shape that rose you.
Yes.
It was God that watched. Wasn't your lock that kept you safe last night? God dispatched angels of mercy around your home while he held back. My God. You don't hear about home invasions on the news?
Yes.
And why it doesn't happen there and never happen to you? Because God.
Yes.
For whatever reason, in spite of how we act, we can change our desire towards God, but we can't change God's purpose for our lives.
Amen.
And eventually, God will get you where he wants you to be, just as Jonah.
Yes.
Who had to go on a three-day timeout inside a fish. And he got spit right where God wanted him to be. And one of you this morning, or maybe
maybe come up this morning are a Jonah. You've been in your fish, wondering why you haven't heard from God, why you're on a spiritual timeout, because you're not aligning yourself with where God wants you to be.
Amen.
So it's realigning our lives. The process is very painful, but it's necessary if he is to be glorified in us. If God brought you out of a state of ratchetness, you don't even have ratchet friends.
Okay.
If God brought you out of a group of sinners, you don't even have a group of sinner friends.
No.
Your friends should change.
Yes.
And you don't have to do nothing. All you gotta do is sit back and let God be God.
Yes, yes.
And God will move out your life.
Yes.
And move new friends in your life.
Amen.
He'll move certain family members out your life.
Amen.
And bring certain family members back into your life.
Amen.
And you'll find yourself, the Lord, I don't know why I'm trying to get my credit together. Because now as a new believer, as a new creation in Christ, you can't be as trifling as you once were. Because you understand, it's not about you. It's all about him.
Yes, yes.
Am I on track so far?
Yes, you are. Amen.
My God, watch this thing. We must remember that God will get more glory from our lives when we are being purified than he will if we are allowed to live lives of ease. We're not meant to be easy and comfortable. Amen. We're talking about the master's business. Look, the truth can be seen in Job. Understand the story of Job. You know the story of Job. How Satan came with other angels and asked for permission to mess with Job. And God, you do whatever you want to do, but you can't take Job's life. Watch this thing. Understand me. The enemy has to get permission to mess with you. Note this. Write this down. Anybody who needs permission to mess with you can't be in charge of you. So stop giving them credit. Anybody who needs permission to mess with you can't be in charge of you. So stop giving him the credit and saying it's the devil. A lot of believe in a cause and effect world. You don't pay your rent, you get evicted. It wasn't the devil. It was your trifle not paying the rent. Your car get repoed. It wasn't the devil. The devil had no car lot. The salesman may act like the devil, but the devil had no car lot. He had no towing service. And we get to the point in the church where we can learn how to tell the truth and shame ourselves and not the devil. Because some things are just shame on us for not handling our business.
Yes. Yes.
And this truth can be seen in us as well. That the enemy may come, he may try his best. But like the song says, the old song says, no room, no vacancy, I'm all filled up. You should be so filled with the presence of God in your life that the enemy can try wherever he wants, the side door, the front door, a window. Everything is just closed off to his attack.
Yes.
Amen.
A question. When do you pray more? When does the Bible mean the most to you? When are you more likely to seek the Lord? And the answer to all these questions is universal, and I'll help you. We're more likely to do these things when the heat is on.
Amen.
Some of the greatest evangelists and prayer warriors in the church arise out of heat being in their lives. God will get a conversation out of most folk until they are in the greatest time of need. Right about so far.
Amen.
God hadn't heard from you all year. You haven't read a scripture all year. Now all of a sudden, you got a need in your life. A loved one's on their deathbed. Amen. A sickness has arisen. A financial crisis has arisen. And now all of a sudden, you want God to jump and be at your beck and call.
Go ahead, Pastor.
Here's the question though. Where were you when God needed you? Where were you instead of witnessing, you talked about somebody? Where were you instead of feeding someone, you laughed at them being hungry? Where were you when somebody needed clothing, you talked about how to dress? Where were you when God needed you? And now all of a sudden, because it's you, God's supposed to drop everything because you got a need in your life. The Bible says you will reap what you sow. My God. So when the heat is on, people read their Bibles more. Amen. When the heat is on, they start praying the most. They want to seek the Lord. Amen. And that's just reality. And that is why the Lord says and allows trials to come our way. He wants to hear from you. And he knows the only way to get a conversation out of you, I got to release some things in your life. I got to let some things come into your life. Because if I don't let these things come into your life, I won't hear from you. Amen. I cannot tell you. I've been ministering now 25 years. How many times I get phone calls now from folks I don't hear from unless I'm dying? Can you, I just need you to say a prayer for me. You got the same access I have. Mm-hmm. You can pray for yourself.
Amen.
My God, watch this. Just as it takes time, heat and pressure to transform coal into diamonds, it takes the same circumstances to transform sinners into saints. The things that God allows into your life, they're not designed to break you. They're designed to make you.
Yes, yes, go ahead.
And what God is using to make you would have killed somebody else.
Amen.
What if God is using to make you would have drilled somebody else crazy.
Yes, yes.
So when you're going through something, rejoice and shout hallelujah, because God took the time and God loved you enough to design a trial just for you.
Yes, yes.
And understand me, the trial that you're facing, the A is not when you come out. The past you grade is in you already before you enter your trial.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
I'm on track so far.
Amen.
So point number three. The reason for our conquest. The reason for our conquest. Look at verse 37. Paul tells us that the reason, the only reason that we are victorious in this life is through him that loved us. Our victory does not lie within ourselves. Our victory rests in Christ alone. Consider for a moment what we deserve. Think about what you deserve, really. You deserved, I thought myself, I deserved hell. I deserve all of hell's punishment for what I did in my life. And that's most of us.
Okay.
Because I'm not the only bad one in the church.
No.
Amen, amen, amen. And I'm not the only bad one in the church. Amen, amen. But watch this. Then think for a moment about the nature of his love for us.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. And then stop and think about what he did to prove his love for us. He says, for God so loved what he created, that he sent his only begotten son, that whosoever, that's love,
yes,
to sacrifice your only begotten son, to allow him to be him that knew no sin,
yes,
to
yes,
take upon the sins of the world. That whosoever believeth should not perish but have everlasting life. When we talk about the elect, that's the elect. We elected to believe that as truth. The love of God for his children is so vast, so deep, and so far-reaching that God wants us to know that nothing can come that can separate us from his great love for us. Verses 38 and 39 are a commentary on the depth, breadth, height, and length of God's love for his children. Look at verse 38 and 39. Paul tells us that none of these things mentioned in these verses can separate from the love of God. Look at verse 38. For I am persuaded, that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, look at verse 39, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. The word separate, verse 39, look at verse, word separate, verse 39, means to divide, to put asunder, to divorce, to put away. The able in verse 39 means to have power. Watch this. In other words, none of the things that people fear so much had any power to divide us from his awesome love.
Amen.
Amen. When we go through things, we need to be assured in our hearts that even the pains, sorrows, and afflictions of life are evidence of God's love for us. Why? Because no matter how bad it seems, if God had not been there, imagine how much worse it would have been.
Amen. Amen.
Think about that. If God had not, even that loved one that you lost.
Yes.
Amen. If God had not been your strength, if God had not been your comforter, how would you have ever gotten yourself together? You wouldn't have gotten yourself together. Paul knew his share of the trials and torments of life. Yet he tells in verse 38, look at verse 38, that he is persuaded. Persuade, that phrase is in the perfect tense. Amen. It means that Paul stands convinced. He's convinced and nothing can change his mind about the matter. He knows that God knows what he is doing and that the saints can count on the boundless eternal love of Jesus Christ to see them through whatever they may face in this life. And I'll tell you again, God has not brought you this far to forget about you now. Amen.
Amen.
So, it is God's will for us that we
whatever you are facing this morning, God knows what he's doing in your life.
Amen.
So we are more than conquerors. But we don't have to do anything to ensure our victory. Victory is ours because the Lord loves us and promises us that his love is the guarantee of our conquest of all the things that comes against us. If we could learn to rejoice and have faith in who we are and what we mean to him, if we could just learn to have faith in who we are, and I should say in whose we are, and we could just learn what we mean to him. My God. My question, are you convinced? If you are saved, you are more than a conqueror.
Yes.
And you should be living like you're more than a conqueror.
Amen.
I don't always feel like it. Amen. It's true. Amen. I don't always live like it is true. But the Bible assures me that it's true nonetheless. I'm interested in that truth becoming a reality in our lives. It can, but we must take God at his word and learn to trust him by faith, even when nothing is happening in us and it seems to be nothing to back it up. But understand me, even when there's nothing in front of you that you can see, oh, but thank God behind the scenes, in the atmosphere, God is working everything out for your growth in his glory.
Amen.
Are you with me so far? Even though you don't feel it, you can't see it, everybody's talking about you, laughing at you as you're going through, talking about you as you're losing.
Yeah.
But now you serve a God that works behind the scenes.
Yeah.
And he does his best work behind the scenes.
Yeah.
And he's everything I'm sending your way right now, you'll get the growth,
yeah.
I'll get the glory. In the end, victory comes down to faith.
Yes, it does.
This is a faith walk.
Yes.
It's not about what you feel.
Mm-hmm.
It all comes down to what you believe.
Oh,
it's all comes down to what you believe. Do you have faith in God? Mm-hmm. Or do you have faith in faith? Faith in faith says, as long as it makes sense and my mind can process it, mm-hmm. I believe it. Mm-hmm. Faith in God says, even when it doesn't make sense.
Yes, yes, yes.
Even when it doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
You still know that God's got you.
Amen. Yes, yes.
We serve a God, church, I tell you this morning, he is too kind to be cruel. He is too wise to make a mistake, and he's too deep to explain himself to you. Right now, so far. In the end, victory comes down to faith. Either I believe what the Bible says, or I believe what my eyes see, my mind thinks, or what others say. So my fellow super conquerors, what should we do with this information? I think we should seek the Lord's faith and ask him for the faith to live like a super conqueror, even when we don't feel like we are one. I think we should seek us up to live in victory, even when you walk around feeling like you're being defeated. Ask God to give you the faith to walk in victory, even when you feel like you're taking nothing but L's.
Yes.
I think we should just take God at his word and leave the details to him.
Yes, yes.
At the end of the day, just take God at his word and leave the details. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Mm-hmm. You can't get a better promise. Never. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. Stand with me. Amen.